The job market disappoints yet again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the number of people seeking unemployment benefits went up last week. In a moment, we'll take a look at the job market and find out why economists are not looking to corporate America for new jobs. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed right now. The Dow is down 23 points, or about 0.2% at 12,371. The Nasdaq up 0.1%, and the S&P 500 down 0.1%. Heinz said this morning it'll close 2 factories in the United States and several others overseas. The ketchup maker is trying to cope with the rising cost of ingredients and of fuel. Now let's get to jobs. The government said this morning the number of people filing for first-time unemployment benefits jumped by 10,000 last week to 424,000. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She's with us live now from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what's going on in the job market, Diane?
Well, what we're seeing is layoffs have picked up again, mostly because of interruptions because of the Japanese earthquake. And also there's still some hesitancy to hire out there with all the uncertainties we're seeing in the global economy today.
And Diane, there's a hearing going on today in Washington. I saw it's about the proposed merger between AT&T and T-Mobile. We know that mergers are not good in the short term for job growth. So where can we look for jobs?
Well, going forward, I think it's going to be a rocky summer for job growth. We are going to see manufacturing come back once the interruptions in production from Japan have passed. That's been a strong sector for, ironically, one back, a sector for job growth. But this has really been a very difficult time. Most of the employment gains we've seen is the net employment gains. Hiring has not really picked up, but firing had abated. That's been our only hope, is that, you know, we've not had as much layoffs, and now those layoffs are back up again.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, thanks so much as always.
Thank you.
Well, another round of tornadoes swept through some Midwestern states last night, injuring dozens of people and damaging property. Meanwhile, the historic floods and droughts continue in parts of the country. When you add it all up, you get big headaches for farmers and a likely increase in the cost of crop insurance. Harvest Public Media's Tim Lloyd reports now from Kansas City.
Federal crop insurance was created after the Dust Bowl. The fear then was Mother Nature could wipe out parts of American agriculture. And even today, taxpayers subsidize around 60% of farmers' crop insurance premiums. Now, extreme weather brought on by climate change could up the ante.
You know, the unknown presents risk, because insurance, what you're doing is that you're looking at your past and you're trying to use that to predict your future.
Bill Murphy oversees the Risk Management Agency, a subset of the USDA that regulates the crop insurance industry. Farmers now rely on that insurance to ride out tough years, and banks that lend to farmers rely on it too as a way to protect themselves from a bad crop season. Scott Gerlt is a crop analyst at the University of Missouri.
If there's more risk in the marketplace, we would expect to see premiums go up, which would increase the government subsidies.
So, here's the domino effect. Climate change means more risk. More risk means higher premiums, and higher premiums mean more tax dollars. Then there's the unknown. There are models that forecast how climate change will affect insurance, but most focus on America's populated coasts. That's a problem because most crop policies are held in the Midwest, and the price for crops like soybeans, corn, and cotton have never been higher. And that much money means there's that much more to lose. Just ask Richard Oswald. Oswald's tractor idles as he stands at the edge of his Missouri farmland that runs 5 generations deep. In 1993, his fields were underwater.
What a lot of farmers confront, farmers I've known who've quit farming, if we have 2 years in a row like that, everything we've worked our whole lives for can be gone.
And that vulnerability has record numbers of farmers signing up for crop insurance. Even without projections for more extreme weather, the Congressional Budget Office expects crop insurance to cost the federal government a whopping $77 billion over the next 10 years. That's almost twice what it was over the previous decade. In Kansas City, I'm Tim Lloyd for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. and by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
Now to the world of airlines. An Australian budget carrier has come up with a new fee, not for bag checking or a window seat or to use the bathroom. Those are all old news. The airline Jetstar plans to charge passengers when they check in for a flight with a human. Reporter Stuart Cohen has the story from Sydney.
Jetstar is the low-cost arm of Australia's national airline Qantas. Under Jetstar's new rules, passengers will get a text message 24 hours before the flight time. They'll then go to the airport, weigh, tag, and drop their own luggage, and proceed through security, all without any interaction with Jetstar staff. A limited number of agents will be available for people who need assistance, but asking for help will cost an extra $10. Passengers' groups aren't happy, especially groups representing disabled and older flyers, who they say often need help to navigate the check-in process. But we'll have to pay that fee regardless. Jason Westbury is head of the Australian Federation of Travel Agents.
When it doesn't work and when the technology does fail, let's face it, all technology fails from time to time, you want to know that there's someone around.
While most American carriers rolled out self-service kiosks years ago and many allow passengers to download a scannable boarding pass to a smartphone, there's no indication any of them are planning to fall into line behind Jetstar and eliminate the last of the human touches, at least not yet. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
And finally, to a new survey from the travel website Expedia.com. It says the average American worker got 18 days of vacation last year, but only used 14 of them. Compare that to the average worker in France who got 37 days and used 35 of them. But here is the real shame. Even when American workers did take time off, 72% of them kept checking in with the office while they were away. You can check in with us anytime at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
After the financial crisis came a lot of insights, including this one. When the government backs private enterprise, oh boy, a lot can go wrong.
They benefited themselves all the while wrapping themselves in the American flag and saying that they were really benefiting borrowers.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Reckless endangerment in the rearview mirror. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.